He, Griff had to relieve himself after that. I don't blame him. Tennessee loses today 59-57 in a, just a game that was Tennessee basketball strange. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. This thing was Tennessee basketball strange. All time Tennessee basketball strange. Guys, first thoughts. Marky Boy Griffin followed by Bino. Griff, your first thoughts on what we saw today.
First thoughts that come to mind, Tony, is last possession, which unfortunately we're down, and I think a great strategy, first of all, for Limited Lou to make that foul.
Yep.
But I'm a little perplexed why we didn't call a timeout, Bino, at the end when we had a play, and it just seemed like nobody wanted to take charge at the end of the last few passes. We didn't really get into a play, and I was worried we were even going to get a shot, but it wasn't the best shot that we could have got. I wish we would have called a timeout, maybe worked something in for Grant Williams on the inside.
There's no question, Mark. When it was obvious that you had no flow to that last possession, Rick Barnes absolutely has to call a timeout at the 10, 12-second mark, regroup, because they're so good out of timeouts.
Yes.
That there's really no reason not to take one there. It was pretty obvious that they weren't in any kind of rhythm in the last possession.
Brian, if you can kill the music, let's go through some of the numbers here. And you guys talk about that last sequence, which really was, I mean, the game itself was odd. The game itself at times was, Grant Williams went, guys, in that basketball game, 24 minutes without attempting a shot. Now that is
crazy.
I mean, at some point, and I know he's in early foul trouble, don't you at some point say, hey, we've got to get him a look? I mean, don't you at some point say that?
Well, I think you should establish that from the beginning, and it was crazy that we're going in the second half that Grant Williams didn't have any shots, and I think it was a bad strategy. I mean, if you've got any chance against a team like Georgia, you got to get him in foul trouble. You got to go inside and go inside out,
yeah,
and not play outside in. I think Tennessee, even though Lamonte Turner, I thought, played a really good game today,
yeah,
overall. I mean, he had some defensive lapses, but I give him credit. I'm not going to be hard on him today. I think you've got to start the ball on the inside. And they haven't stopped Grant Williams. The previous game he scored 30 points.
Yeah.
They did not double team him when he got the ball this game as well. So he could have really, I think, gone to work more and established Tennessee from the first half, but they just didn't seem to have the same strategy.
So it's your Smart Way Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. Tony Basilia, we've never done this on site. I've got Bino here. I've got Mark Griffin. Tony Jones will be by here momentarily, to jump in with us. In a day where the dynamic duo from Georgia, Mayton and Frazier, carry the day. And for Frazier, an off game. 4 of 13 from the field. Just attempted 3 free balls, but he gets to the line 8 times. And the other thing that kid does is he does winning things. He had 10 rebounds in today's game to go with his 17 points. And let me tell you something. Big R brought up something that we watched at the end of that game that came into play, which is, for some reason, we are checking him 40 feet from the basket, and we're allowing him to constantly blow by our guards. And that's an adjustment Tennessee just didn't make.
No, they've basically done that. We've talked about it several times on the postgame show, that Tennessee's guards pick up so far out in the midcourt, and there's really no reason to do it, especially with a guy like Frazier that you can't handle.
Right.
And another thing, I went to practice a few days ago,
yeah,
in their preparation against Georgia, and it's not what they worked on in practice. I know I didn't want to give away a lot of the secrets,
sure,
of what I saw during practice, but they were not picking up at the half-court line like you saw practically across the half-court today. One of the strategies that they did work on was making Frazier drive and going underneath the screen, because you have two options on a screen. When you're getting screened by a big guy, you either go over the top,
yeah,
or you go over the bottom. I mean, you go through the bottom. If,
yeah,
you go over the top, then that gives them an opportunity to drive by you as well. If you go underneath, that gives an opportunity for a three-point shot, which you would rather give him that option to step back for a three than you would to drive.
I want to thank the really terrific fans that came out today. We had a great, great time at our listener watch party. Thank you for coming out. We're going to do this next week again for the NCAA tournament. Unfortunately, we're not going to be a part of that, and it's official today. These are two bad basketball teams. Now, I'm not trying to be harsh. How about this, guys? Tennessee ends that game. These are the trends at the end of the game. Tennessee ends the game 0 for their last 5 from the field. Georgia ends the game. No field goals in the last 2:30. Tennessee ends the game, no field goals in their last 3:58. I mean, you kind of are what you are. We shot 33% from the field. They shot 43%. We were 7 for 25 from three-point range. Now, here's my thing. Why are we shooting 25 three-pointers in a game?
And Williams not getting any shots.
And Williams didn't touch a ball.
I think, and it was so strange because Bone and Turner and Bowden all had more success from beyond the arc than they'd been having.
Yep.
And when Williams went out with the foul problems, they fell in love with that.
That's exactly
and they
right.
never adjusted right. afterwards.
Yep. Even when Williams was back on the floor, I mean, at some point in the second half, let me bring the great Tony Jones in here and the great Hatfield in here. And Brian, you now remember, you can only you're going to have to ride one or the other as we mix some calls in, because we can't do three hotlines at once. But we'll get as many people in here as possible, and I'll go Tony, then Keith, and we want to welcome Keith Hatfield back to the land of the living. I've been really worried about him, San Antonio Jones. If poor basketball and poor execution is hazardous to your health, you're a dead man. Because you've sat through in two consecutive days the Auburn game and now this thing today. And I welcome you in. Give me your first thoughts, Tone, on what we saw.
I mean, you called it. I mean, just bad basketball. I mean, it was the latter part of the game was just hard to watch. And you know what? I've been here, and it has been bad basketball for three games. Now, it was exciting. It had some drama. It had some intrigue. But as far as the purist is concerned, if you're not AT&T family and friends, it could be difficult to get a grasp of it as a purist basketball wise. I just for the life of me, the last possession, I don't know what they were doing. I mean, they just stood around the perimeter, dribbling it, second-guessing each other, passing it back and forth. And then, for some unearned reason, I thought Admiral would knock down that shot because he was wide open, and that's something he's capable of doing. But it didn't happen because the offense was just in disarray. And just listening to Mark Fox on his post-game said that, you know, he thought the defense had him out on the perimeter. And no matter what type of look they would have got from outside, he didn't think they would make it because Tennessee seemed to be in disarray that last possession.
Tone, before we grab Keith in here, both Mark and Bino made a point, and kind of you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Some coaches say, I don't want to take a timeout because I don't want you to set your defense up. Some say, you got to take a timeout there. What do you think in terms of, if Tennessee gets a do-over, because they have a timeout left, do they take a timeout there, Tone? What do you think, if they could do it over?
You take a timeout. And I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking, you know, because Schofield could have hit the three and it could have been a wrap. But you take a timeout because you took a timeout previously and you got what you wanted. You got Grant Williams on the block. Going in, you know, he made a nice spin baseline, almost was and one, almost knocked down the field goal and got fouled, was only, you know, 1 for 2 from the free throw line, but you gotta call another timeout, you gotta go down inside to him again. And then, if you get a double team, create a double team, then you got a wide open three on reversals or and one. But if you don't receive a double team, you got your best low post score, your best score close to the basket with the ball and the game on the line. I think he should have called a timeout and made sure it was mandated that Grant Williams make a play on that last possession.
It's another thing that's kind of mystifying, and I'm sure we'll find this out in the post game, is Robert Hubbs' Tennessee career. I think I can kind of say this. Well, I don't want to be assumptive. I mean, they might make the NIT. They're a straight-up 500 basketball team. I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to make the NIT. But that said, his career ends with him on the bench. Mark, you saw practice a couple days ago. Is he that inhibited that he wouldn't be on the floor there? Because he ended up playing 31 minutes in the game.
No, not during the practice, seemed to be fine. And we were talking amongst the listener party when he was on the bench, why wasn't he playing? And someone said, well, it's offense defense. But when you've got someone like Robert Hubbs that's coming down to maybe his last game in his career at UT, he needs to be on the floor over someone like a Lou Evans. No disrespect to Lou, but he just gives you more athleticism to make things happen more than someone like a Lou Evans. So I was just really surprised that Robert was not out there, even if it was 50%.
Let me grab Keith Hatfield. We'll jump him in here as we're live today here at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse, where we had our watch party today. And some folks, I think, still in a little bit of shock at the way today's game ended and the way the season ended, though it was an uphill climb for Tennessee most of the way, but they were able to scratch and claw and get back in it and momentarily jump out and look like Tennessee was going to be able to sail home and maybe steal a win, get to tomorrow. Keith, your first thoughts on what we saw, and then we'll grab some phone calls.
Well, I thought the main thing you saw at the end of the game is the danger of having four freshmen and a sophomore on the floor at the end of a game unless you've got Kentucky or Kansas that's freshmen. I mean, it was readily abundant. I'm not going to speak for Grant Williams. The ball never came close to him, but it was pretty obvious none of the other four guys had any intention of taking that shot unless absolutely forced. But also, I'm not sure why he didn't play a little more. I thought that might have been the best series of minutes Kyle Alexander's played the whole time he's been here. I mean, blocked some shots. He's active. He gets some rebounds. I thought that was some of his better work. And, I mean, I thought for a stretch at least, when the lineup was Bone, Bowden, and Turner all on the perimeter together, that looked promising for the future. But they miss free throws. They have a couple of atrocious possessions at the end. The one where Bone gets turned around and essentially tries to pass it to himself. And then the officials kick the call on him bouncing off the other guy. Just a tough way to end it, but not totally unexpected. I'd be very interested to see what Tennessee does as far as even if the NIT called. I'm sure they would go, because I think you have to, since it's now owned by the NCAA, but I wouldn't be. I'd rather have these guys in the gym just working them at this point. I wouldn't be that juiced up about the NIT.
What do you guys think, Griff?
I personally don't think they're going to make the NIT at a 500 record, looking at all the other SEC teams right now that they're competing against to maybe even get in the NIT with their records, and we can go through the list of teams. But at a 500 record, I don't think this is an attractive team to even play in the NIT versus what else is out there with the mid-majors that have the opportunity to play in the NIT and what's left throughout the field. I don't see it happen. I think their season's over.
This is not what I want to see, but is there any opportunity for this team to play further in the CBI?
I don't know. I think.
I don't think they're going to the NIT. But more basketball would probably help this team. And Keith makes a good point about the youth that was out there. The problem from here is, to me, this team wound up being disappointing down the stretch.
Yeah.
An NIT bid would have been excellent for this basketball team.
Yeah.
This finish is not.
Yeah.
And I don't believe you can go forward with the makeup of the team the way that it is. I think for next year to be any better, Pons has to be a big-time scorer for him. I think Kyle Alexander and Bone have to develop and be much better players, and I think you have to have some attrition in order to open up some scholarships for the following season. Because I don't believe Zach Kent gives you anything in next season.
You know, the thing that's really interesting about today is, if it's not for Lamonte Turner's play early on, Tennessee gets absolutely, and I mean blown out of that game. That's the irony of this whole thing. He keeps him in the game. Now, you can make the case, well, you know, when he makes those shots early, he's going to shoot you out of the game late, which kind of did happen.
Yep.
But without his contribution today,
no, no
and
question.
He was an active live body, he played very well today.
Bone as well.
Yes.
You know, they
and Bone played well.
Yes.
I mean, those guys, that was not, it was not recruit over me basketball that they played today.
No, it wasn't.
So, we can go to the phones. We'll get as many folks in here as possible. 865-200-5402 on a day where Tennessee gets, I think, you can never assume, but I think eliminated from NIT consideration. A couple years ago, Dave Hart did say that he would never accept the CBI deal. And the thing with the CBI is you've got to pay to play in that thing. That's a pay to get in. Pay to play, I believe.
Yeah, I don't believe that would be the right decision. Tony, I'm gonna get out of the way here so the callers and the pros can have it. Thanks to Mark and Keith and TJ and you for what you've done. This program really doesn't deserve this postgame show, I'll tell you that.
Our
Tennessee basketball program doesn't deserve this postgame show. You guys have been fantastic.
Damn, Beano shot. Beano with the
wow.
shoot.
Step up.
That's not a work. That's a shoot right there. Beano, thank you. I love you. That's my main man.
Thanks, Beano.
Beano on the wheels of steel. Of course, Griff, you're my main man. Tony Jones is my main man. Hatfield's my main man. Let's go back to the phones. This is the first time since 2007 that the Vols have failed to reach the quarterfinals of your SEC tournament. According to the great Josh Ward, you will bow your head when you say thy name. Let's get our first call in, and we'll get as many in here as humanly possible. And if you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402, where was Robert Hubbs and where is Waldo? That's kind of what we're wondering down the stretch, and I guess in that order. So let's get our first call in. Hello and welcome in to our first caller.
Tony, John Tweet, what do you say, buddy?
Hey, buddy, welcome in.
Who was in Rick Barnes' ear at the end of the game where Jordan Bones isn't out of bounds, telling him to challenge the call? Where does that come from? Who's supposed to? Is that up to the refs to decide to challenge their own call, or the other team, the coach?
There's a minute 7 seconds left in the game. There, Tony Jones. How exactly does that work? The way that the concept of a challenge would work. Any idea, Tone, how that's going to work? Go ahead, Tone. You got to put one on hold there, Bri. Go ahead, Tone.
What you got to do is just you got to inform the referee that you indeed want to lodge an official challenge to this specific instance. And then, you know, the officials will get together and see if it's credible enough to go to the monitor.
So, Tone, in your opinion, because, Mark, we were watching the same thing, I would not have challenged because it looked to me like Bone's foot was clearly out of bounds when he flipped the ball back in off the defender. I mean, he got caught there. He did a young guard thing, and he was kind of in no man's land. And the truth is, if he lets the ball go, it's Tennessee's ball anyway. What did you see, Tone?
He was clearly out. He was clearly out. And that's probably, you know, the coaching staff usually, you know, get some type of a clue of what eventually was right or wrong, and that's why I wasn't challenged, probably.
Yeah, I agree with that. In other words, they had a probably a pretty clear look at that.
Right.
And I kind of feel you there. Anything else for us, Tweety?
His timeout for next season. Was Rick Barnes saving his timeout for next season? If they're struggling to get a shot there, can you not take it with 12 to 13 left when you not get the look you want? What are you trying to accomplish there? Save one?
I couldn't agree with that more. And you know, these guys, I mean, generally speaking, some people will say you don't take a timeout. Some people say you do take a timeout. To me, when your guys, and there's like, to me, Griff, I'm calling that timeout with about 10 seconds left in that game.
Yes.
Because I've wasted about 12 seconds or 13 seconds. It's not going to clear up. You're not going to get a shot at that point, right?
Right. And what we've seen with Tennessee during this game and throughout the season, pretty much, they've had success coming out of timeouts with running a play to get a shot and get a basket. It's not like they've not had success coming out of timeouts. They had success today coming out of timeouts. So I'm dumbfounded that they didn't call it, that Coach Barnes or staff or players did not call a timeout to set up something to get the ball inside to Williams, your number one guy.
And I'd like to make this point, Tony. I think I believe this to be true, that Rick ordered that foul on Mike Edwards from the sideline for Leston Lou to just put a hammer lock on him. No time, go off the clock. He's a poor free throw shooter. The strategy worked with 20-some-odd seconds. I think it was may have been, what was it, 28, 29 seconds to go. And then we just loitered around the perimeter, dribbling the ball, and didn't seem like a well coached basketball team in the last half minute.
So you're saying, like, you're with me, 10 seconds left, 12 seconds, somewhere around there, you're getting that timeout, right, Tone?
Once you see that we don't have a definitive movement going on where we advance the ball up the floor, then we get it inside, or we got something materializing on the weak side, whether it's a double stagger or something like that. Once he seen that they were just stagnant on the perimeter, he should have seen that and called a timeout then.
And what you guys wanted to do, Griff, what you wanted to do just one more time is Williams touches the ball there, right?
I think so. I think, and Coach Jones mentioned this earlier, but, you know, you get a position where you try to get the ball inside out. If you got a chance to go inside to Williams, let him go to work. He drew fouls the entire time in the second half when he finally got the ball.
Yeah.
But at least you free up your three-point shooters. If they do go inside and they perhaps double Williams, he can kick out to someone that's wide open, that's got their feet set in triple threat position, as opposed to someone that's leaning into a shot and not set.
23 seconds, by the way, guys, was how much time Tennessee had. 23. And they literally, I mean, to say they squandered 23 seconds would be the understatement of the century. Tweety, give me a final thought, and thank you for the call.
Yeah, now, before I jump on, if you remember right, the guy missed his first three free throw, and then Barnes called timeout. So at that point, he was probably saying to them, if we miss, or when he misses, this is what we're going to run. So, you know, my thought is they're coming down, hey, we miss it, and we know what we're going to get up and run, and then it's not working. You got to call another timeout again. Tony, everybody on the show, thank you guys for doing what you do. I know y'all put a lot of time into it for not a lot of reward. Really, really appreciate it, man. Thank you, guys. Y'all be good.
Thank you, brother. You know, appreciate the kind words. 865-200-5402. If I can bring Hatfield back in here now. I thought the decision to foul – as Tony was talking about before, that was an awesome decision, and he kind of sold it. He kind of made it look semi like it was a part of the game, and it was like a hack-a-shack there.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you don't grab a guy like that directly in front of an official unless you want him to make that call. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Now, granted, certainly the college rule on that's different than the NBA rule, so you can get away with that dead ball play right there in college that you necessarily wouldn't in the NBA. But I mean, that part of it worked. The ensuing possession certainly didn't, but Tennessee had enough chances down the stretch. I mean, they had plenty of chances down the stretch to try to get some control of the game. They never did. Missed free throws, turnovers, any of a number of things.
Yeah, there's just no doubt about that. And Griff, the game was just weird because it was almost as if they just couldn't get the thing out of third gear today, right?
Yes, Tony, and one thing we talked about during the game, it just seemed that Tennessee was just kind of hanging on, and not getting defensive stops. We haven't talked anything about the lack of defensive stops. Yeah. Now, overall, Frazier did enough to get this team to victory. So, you know, credit to Frazier with 17 points and an unbelievable 10 rebounds for someone who's 5'10 and I think 150. But I think that Tennessee felt that they could just stay in the game and somehow they could pull it off at the end. But without defensive stops, you're not going to do that. So I was a little disappointed in the lack of intensity team-wise to get crucial stops down the end at the end of the game to put Tennessee in a better position to win.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. As we talk about Tennessee's season ending, well, I don't know. I mean, I assume it's season ending. I guess none of us know. I guess they could always politic their way into an NIT.
No. It's not happening.
No.
No. NIT's done.
No. And do you want to politic yourself into a road game in the NIT? Because they certainly wouldn't be seated well enough to play a home game.
Boy, that's a good point. And the truth is, the way the committee is, they'd send us down to Belmont.
And down into that. That's exactly where I was going with that.
That's exactly what they'll do. And I'm going to tell you something.
Don't want to play there.
I mean, it'd be kind of fun to see our guys go down there and play, and it'd be good for their fans. I mean, that's the kind of thing the NIT is doing now. Rather than take a Belmont, take them on the road and feed them to Tennessee. I mean, there is something to be said for making the big state school, like when Kentucky a couple years ago went to Robert Morris. That's good for the game of basketball. I mean, there'd be worse things for the game of basketball, us going to Belmont. Of course, probably wouldn't be real good for us, the way they shoot the J, and the way our guards allegedly guard. But anyway, we'll go back to the phones. I mean, as somebody who lives in the mid-state, Griff, how much would it mean, hypothetically, to a Belmont if Tennessee went into their gym? Would they be able to sell that game out?
Oh, no question. And they have a little small gymnasium or curb center that they play. I think it holds 2,400 or so, and maybe a little bit more. But it would definitely be sold out. But, I mean, Belmont would really welcome a Tennessee game in their backyard. I hope it doesn't happen. I'd rather them not go than play Belmont.
Correct.
I don't want to see Tennessee limp into an NIT and play at Belmont because I don't think the Tennessee student-athletes, first of all, would bring their A game knowing after this defeat that they've got to go to mid-state and play against a team like Belmont. I just don't think they're going to be motivated with their mindset. I really don't.
Before I go to the phone lines that are jammed, Keith, can I ask you, what do you think happened with Hubs? Here he is in his final game of his career. Correct me, guys, if I'm wrong. Last 8.5 minutes of the game, he's not on the court. I don't know if I ever remember seeing anything like that. What do you think happened, Keith?
As with anybody else, I mean, I don't think Barnes plays favorites. I'm sure either his knee acted up or B, and more likely he failed a defensive rotation or didn't do something that Barnes wanted and someone else did, and that's how that worked out. His whole career here has been a crying shame as far as I'm concerned. Always hurt, just came in with way too high expectations. I mean, the guy's a natural post player, and everybody acted like we were bringing James Harden in here. I mean, I think Robert Hubs is awfully, more times unfairly than fairly maligned. He's one of the more maligned Tennessee players of my lifetime.
Well, one thing that I thought that was interesting that the media jumped on when he did not want to go into the game and was getting praised for saying he was good, let the team stay on, they've got good chemistry, is any student athlete that I know, if you get called on to go into game, you want to go in the game. You don't want to sit on the bench and let the other players on the court. You want to be a part of that process yourself. So I looked at that a lot differently as saying, hey, this was kind of a weakness to me that you should want to be out on the court at all times and not sit on the bench and let someone else do the dirty work.
Well, especially when you're a senior and you're leaving four freshmen and a sophomore out there to try to do it.
Tony, what do you think of that? You have a thought on why Hubs isn't out there at the end of that game?
It was a coach's decision, and it may have been some repercussion from the last game when Barnes tells him to go in, and like Mark said, he says, oh, I'm good. I don't get that. I mean, if I tell you to go in, you don't tell me you good, let that group continue to play. I'm the coach, you're the player. I make the decisions, and it's your job to make the decisions work, so I don't buy that.
Wow. Back to the phones we go. I'm learning things here. We learn new things every day. Barnes said, "I, with a straight face, I'm really proud of our team. I think Georgia is an NCAA-worthy team." Mark, would you second that emotion that Georgia is an NCAA-worthy team based on what you saw today that did not score in 4.5 minutes at the end of the game, a field goal?
I don't think they're an NCAA team unless they win the SEC tournament. That's the only thing, and I'm leaving that open for debate.
Sure, I mean, it could happen.
If they could beat Kentucky, you know, they went to overtime in Lexington and lost that game in which they should have won. Don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It could be a blowout. But with this crazy SEC, we saw it with Missouri beating Auburn last night. I mean, anything can happen.
Barnes doubling down on not taking the timeout, Tony says. If we could run that again and get the same look, we do it every single time, he said, on Schofield's last second shot. Tony, your thoughts on that?
Well, that's just him, you know, trying to stay safe with that. I mean, I don't think you want Admiral Schofield shooting a three-point shot to win or lose the basketball game. I think you'd rather one of those perimeter players shoot that shot, or more or less you try to get the ball inside to your best player that was on the floor at that particular time, and that's Grant Williams. So, I mean, I think that's just minutia.
Is he channeling Butch Jones there? I mean, Mark, stand up here and say I'm wrong. It's okay.
You know,
I wish I had a do-over there, guys.
It's interesting. I haven't coached as many years as Tony Jones, and God bless him for the years he's put in this profession. But just even coaching a summer league team and learning from mistakes, a lot of times coaches don't want to admit that they've made a mistake. When you leave that court and you know that you screwed your team over, especially today by not calling a timeout, and then not admitting it, I mean, he would have been better off saying, yes, I should have called a timeout. But there's not many coaches that are going to do that, like Coach said, to save face. But I know deep down inside that was a huge error for this game today and a crucial turning point in this loss.
Schofield up on the podium said, I've just got to knock that shot down. It's what we were looking for, is to go for the win, there. It's very, very interesting.
That's laughable. Go for the win. Come on. Go for the win. You go to put the thing in overtime.
I mean, you're not playing Kentucky, guys. You're playing Georgia. If you're playing Kentucky or you're playing Duke or you're playing North Carolina and you want to shoot for the win, or you're playing Gonzaga, I think we all get that. You're playing freaking Kentucky. Like Tony said, I'm putting that thing in overtime, and I'm going to let them choke it away like they have all year.
And they got two players.
They got two.
That can do anything consistently on their team at all. If you can't contain Mayton and Frazier, you're in trouble, and you can take them to an overtime and beat them down if you needed to. So I disagree once again with what Schofield, his comments about trying to take it for the win.
We'll go back to our phones, and let's get Robert in here. Who will join us next. Robert, hello and welcome in. Smart Way, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. We're live today in the Bearden Fieldhouse. Hello.
How you doing today, Tony?
Good to be in there. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate you guys doing what you do each and every time. Just had a couple of thoughts today as I was watching the game, and kind of goes back to the last time that we played Georgia, that Frazier, you know, he had that second half where he just took over the basketball game, and they ran that high screen just over and over and over again, and they kept doing the same thing today. And I just couldn't help but think, and Coach Jones can probably chime in on this and like to get his perspective, but why didn't we ever just trap Frazier and get the ball out of his hand?
That's a very astute observation. You know, I know, you know, Auburn took Georgia to the wire in one of the last games of the season, the game before the last game of the season, and Jared Harper had a wide open three that could have won the game after Georgia was leading by four with about under a minute to go. And each and every time Frazier had the ball, they sent two people at him to make him give it up. And then on the last possession where Georgia had it, Frazier turned it over when they threw two guys at him. So I think that's a salient point, a astute point, and that's something, that's the strategy that I would have utilized. Obviously, you've seen the type of player he is. You've seen what type of damage that he can do, especially when it's one-on-one. You make other people try and beat you in those instances.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, but, you know, I coach Little League basketball, so what do I know? But anyway, I was just wondering what you guys thought about the three straight possession. You know, we're down by two, and, you know, I think we got a little bit ahead of ourselves. I thought we took some quick threes, and, you know, I think we shot three straight threes, if my memory serves right. But anyway, I just, you know, I'm pulling for this team, cheering for this team. I can appreciate their effort for most of this year. I thought they played extremely hard, and I think we all got a little bit spoiled. I think they overachieved about three quarters of the way through the season. But even though the Hubs have been hurt here and there all throughout his career, I did think he had some moments this year to where that he excelled. And so anyway, I guess just to kind of wind up the season, you know, my take on it is that we were what we were, you know. There were some bright spots and some moments, and I do think that we possibly have some things to look forward to with some of this group that's intact. But I'll get off here and let somebody else get on. I appreciate you guys, and you guys have a great day.
Excellent phone call. I'll bring Keith in. Keith, any thoughts on what our caller said?
Well, thank you. I think certainly you always want to look back and say, yeah, we could have thrown something else different at him as a look, and I don't disagree with that. I think that's a reasonable perspective. And the one thing is, and it's an epidemic in college basketball now, anybody who's down by two with under 3 minutes to go just decides they must start jacking threes for some reason, because everybody wants to be the guy who hits the shot that ESPN shows putting you ahead during the highlight package, apparently.
Yeah, that's a great point, Tony. You and Mark, you guys both work around the young people. Tony, you say that goes on a lot more than anybody thinks, and then I'll let Mark elaborate on that as well. That mentality, and I'm not going to beat on Lamonte Turner. I'm not, because he kept Tennessee from getting completely hammered in today's game. If it's not for him, we're probably talking about a 15-20 point game. I really believe that. The problem with him is when he hits a couple of those shots early, you just know you're going to have to put up with a couple of those mistimed early in the possession three balls that he's going to attempt. I mean, it's like them predicting snow on Saturday. I can promise you it's not going to snow. I mean, when they tell me it's not going to, you know, when they tell me it's going to snow, it's not going to snow. Tone, what about what Keith just said, the fact that everybody wants to see their name in lights, and it's epidemic in the game right now?
Well, of course. I mean, that happens, and it's because you have undue influence on these kids nowadays. I mean, the AAU has really hurt collegiate basketball, and it's hurt the professional ranks as it pertains to, you know, guys not having fundamental skills and things of that nature. You made a point, Tony, earlier about Lamonte knocking down some threes to keep us in the game. And And then, you know, Sonny Hill used to say, and I have to say it again, Sonny Hill used to say, you live by the jump shot, you die by it. And, if you're going to keep shooting, 3-point shots and you're not really good at it, then eventually, the averages is going to fall back to where they've been at during a greater preponderance of the year. I thought Jordan Bone played a good game. I mean, he showed some flashes and especially from 3-point land. But, you know, I think it was Mark that said it earlier. When Grant Williams went out for foul trouble, we kept shooting the three ball. We kept shooting the three ball. And then that's just not the recipe for Tennessee basketball to get it done. 33% from the field and I think the final numbers was in the 20s. I think it was 7-for-25 or something of that nature, from 3-point line. That's just not a recipe to win an SEC tournament type basketball game.
No, it's not. And looking at some of the numbers, from today's game, I mean, Rick Barnes is, and all these coaches do this, they all fluff their member team institutions to the point where it's almost insulting. But if you look at the numbers in today's game, Tennessee, these numbers say blowout. They shoot 33% from the field. Their opponent shoots 43% from the field. Tennessee is 7-of-25 from 3-point range. Georgia shoots 3-of-8. From 3-point range. And Griff, in our 3-pointers today, while we were watching that thing unfold, I mean, you had Kyle Alexander shoot a 3. Addy shot 5 of them. Bone shot 6 of them. Bowden, who's probably our most clutch 3-point shooter on the team, shoots 4 of them. Turner shoots 7 and only made 1. Some of the other numbers in the game. Georgia, as we said, they're 3-of-8 from 3-point land. Frazier only shoots 1 3 ball today. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. After he rung it up in Knoxville, I think in his mind he was thinking, I can take these guys off the dribble anytime I want to. I'll get any shot I want to get. And even at that, he wasn't as active as I thought he would be, Mark. Now, you know what? Give a lot of credit today to Lamonte Turner, who gets maligned. I think he did a nice defensive job on that guy today.
Yes, I do too. I thought he did a good job as he could to contain Frazier the best he could. There was a couple of blowbys at the end. I thought that was crucial.
Yeah.
Don't know if that was he was tired or just didn't get down in his stance and force him right. He beat him a couple times to the left of the basket. One possession I recall vividly where he went right past him and Grant Williams for an easy layup at a crucial time. But, yes, I think Lamonte Turner overall played a really, really good game. I go back to, Tony, is I'm just really surprised that Tennessee didn't establish an inside game today with Grant Williams from the get-go, because it was almost like too little too late if you're going to wait till 6 minutes left in the game and then decide to go into Grant Williams because they're not in foul trouble, which we finally got them into foul trouble. But you establish them early, which changes the tempo of the game. It changes your substitution rate as far as what Georgia brings in with their big guys, because he's got, you know, people in foul trouble, maybe even Mayton Moore in foul trouble.
Yep.
But we just got away from our strengths. Like even Coach Jones says, you live and die with the jump shot. More than likely, you're going to die, and that's what happened today.
Hey, Tone, the one thing we did to them, and Keith, and this is why Georgia's a bad basketball team, and this is why they lost games this year. They had no business losing, including one to A&M, a heartbreaking loss to South Carolina. The game at Kentucky they had in their hands. They don't handle the ball well, which is what bad basketball teams do. Guys, they doubled us in turnovers today. They had 15 to our 8. And that's how you let a team stay in a game that shoots 33% and 7-of-25 from 3-point range. And Georgia's sitting there staring at that game and almost freaking lost. You would have to try to lose that game. But, Tony, when you have 15 turnovers to your opponent's 8, that opponent will be in that game time after time. It's the way the game works.
Yeah, I mean, you made the point about the last 3-4 minutes of the game about field goals, nobody making any field goals. When you get Georgia in a half court game and you're able to kind of corral Frazier and not let him have a penetrating lane, and you're pushing up on him and you contest the shot, they're not so much of a good pattern team where they're going to get the ball. You know, Mayton played a good game, especially coming off of the injury. And that contribution was well needed and by Georgia for them to get the win. But you know, we were stagnant also offensively. I mean, we just didn't run our pattern, like we've done in portions of the year. So, you know, the last few minutes of the basketball game, it showed that either team, wasn't good in the half court. And then a little bit of the pressure of the situation, because Tennessee knows that they had to win the basketball game, to continue to play, to continue to maybe win games, to garner some postseason. Georgia right now, Joe Lunardi is saying they one of the last four out. So don't cut short the pressure of the moment of the game in that atmosphere.
I tell you, it's a great point, Keith. And Georgia's a team all year that snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, and I'll be damned if they didn't almost do it again today, Keith.
Yeah, well, I think the defining sequence in the game is Tennessee. I think it's 51-51. Tennessee runs a perfect out-of-bounds play, and Grant Williams, the ball goes just directly through his hands when he's got a wide-open dunk on the lob on the inbounds from underneath when it's 51. Then there's like three helter-skelter races back up and down the court where nothing happens, and then we foul Frazier at the other end. They get the lead, and I don't think we ever got it tied again.
I think you're right, and I think you're right on all accounts. And that's kind of the type of game it was. Tennessee has an opportunity to wrestle the lead away. I mean, the lead changed in that game 12 times, guys. But Georgia had the lead in that basketball game for 30 minutes and 3 seconds. Tennessee only 4 minutes and 2 seconds. I mean, it felt like we were swimming against the tide the entire basketball game. Mark, I never felt comfortable in that game. Did you?
No, and especially when we got down by 6.
Yes.
I thought, man, if they extend this to 10, we're dead in the water. And then fortunately Tennessee did hit some big shots. I think a couple of them were 3-point shots. But, you know, once again, relying on the 3-point ball, I don't get it. I mean, it just, when you've got Grant Williams scored 30 points against Georgia last time around.
Yep.
Why we can't work the ball around to get it to him, or even when early success that we had, we haven't talked about Robert Hubbs.
Right.
At the beginning of the game, I don't know what his shooting percentage was overall. Something
right.
I think he missed shot 11 shots, but he had some attempts in the first half. He took several more attempts in the first half than he did the second half with those 8 to 10 foot shots that is typical Robert Hubbs type shots.
Yeah.
And we got away from that as well.
3 of 11. Is what he ends up with for the game. Did not play down the stretch. Rick Barnes regarding Hubs not playing. Patrick Brown kind of reads into this, but Barnes said the following, Tony, you tell me what this means to you. He just didn't have it. Now, Patrick Brown, that's the quote. He just didn't have it. Patrick Brown goes on to add physically due to his knees. I don't know if that's what Rick Barnes said there, if he didn't say physically due to his knees. When Rick Barnes said he just did not have it, to me, that quote to me is left open to interpretation. You guys are kind of all convinced that that was a coach's decision. Yes?
No,
absolutely.
In my estimation, that definitely was a coach's decision.
I'm not trying to start anything. Isn't that weird to do that to a guy in his last basketball game?
I mean, it's kind of been a little bit of a different Coach Barnes from his previous stop, and he's really gone at these guys in the press, you know, being in my estimation, and this is from a coaching genre, probably constructive criticizing them, just to try and get the players to think a little bit. But to say something like that out the door. And it is their last game, guys. I would be really, really surprised if the NIT selected them to participate in the tournament. Division one games, they're under 500. All games total, they're 500. And they haven't played well, towards the latter part of the season, and then losing to an LSU team late. It's just not a team, in my estimation, that deserves an IT consideration.
I do want to get one non-basketball note in here because it ties in with the University of Tennessee. Breaking news from SportsIllustrated.com. The Texans have traded Brock Osweiler for a second-round pick. Keith, would you care to guess the organization that he went to?
No, it's got to be Cleveland.
You're damn straight. They gave up a second-round pick for a guy that could not break a pane of glass with a football.
For a guy they paid $100-something million to bench.
Jimmy Haslam, if you're listening, I want to say to you, thank you for all the unintentional entertainment that you provide through your front office of the Cleveland Browns. You guys are a clown show. You ought to change your name to the Cleveland Clowns. That is the dumbest, literally the dumbest thing maybe I've ever read today. Yay, 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 yay. Now that we move away from that, and I don't know why I'm beside myself. The unintentional comedy of the Cleveland Browns, and Hatfield was like, oh, okay, I know where Tony's going with this. I'm going to vibe here. Thank you. Because of you, Cleveland, Tony Jones's Lions will not be the worst franchise in sports, nor will my Eagles. It is so beyond next level. Here's what Rick Barnes, he was asked why Bone and Turner, Tony, didn't get the ball in the final possession. He said they did have the ball. They just got rid of it. Tony, your thoughts on that?
I mean, come on, coach. Let's just quit trying to rationalize a questionable decision, and that's what it is. And we as coaches always going to be second-guessing questions. So, I mean, I just don't think he's handling it correctly. And I just think that, he's just continually trying to rationalize, the inability, for us to get out have a quality possession in a game that meant so much. And Tony, just to make the point, clearly, Houston traded, Osweiler and a second round pick and a sixth round pick to Cleveland for a fourth round pick. So,
oh, I'm sorry. I misread that.
Houston
traded a second and a sixth for a fourth. I still wouldn't give up a fourth-round pick for Osweiler. I wouldn't give up a bag of balls for that guy. I wouldn't want him anywhere near my team. But then again, I'd be interested in winning football games, and they're not. Barnes, go ahead.
The thing with Cleveland is they just take on Osweiler's $16 million hit on the salary next year.
Thank you. I need to focus on one thing at a time, and I can barely do that in an average sense. Barnes on the final possession, Hatfield. We got a great look at it. He's got no problem with Admiral Schofield taking the last shot. He also says, Keith, about the guard play. He says, we need them next year. Our young guards, they were not attacking the lane and drawing contact. We need them to get better at that. Keith.
I take that as your reason that you didn't get a timeout on the last play. It's a sink or swim world.
What's that mean, Mark? What's he saying there?
What, as far as what?
He's saying it's a sink or swim world. That's the reason they didn't take time out there.
You know, I'm still just mesmerized that when he's saying they had a good look, when the only looks I saw was a hot potato from the three-point line and nobody wanted the ball in their hands. We must have passed the ball three or four, maybe even five times on the three-point area. No one on the block to get a good angle to throw the ball inside. And then a good look seeing Schofield. I don't even know, did he even draw iron on his shot? I don't think he did from my angle.
No, he didn't.
That's not a good look. I mean, it's not a good shot. I don't think it's a good look if you can't draw iron. I mean, and do you want Schofield shooting the last shot when you've had success from Bone and from Lamonte Turner? Bless Lamonte Turner's heart today that played very well.
Bless his heart. I just
I've been hard on him, Tony.
No, we've all been hard on him.
And
he balled out today. He keeps him in the game.
I'm going to go as far, Tony, and I hope you don't mind me saying on this show,
go ahead.
But I think there's going to be some changes next year. And I think we're talking maybe two players not be here that were here this year. I think Lamonte Turner is a 50-50 chance not to be on this team, even with the game he had today. I don't think that will make it to where he's going to stay next year. If he's not forced out, he may leave on his own, but I think he and Quay Parker both leave this team. That's just from what I'm hearing and also a gut feeling just from what I've witnessed in practice as far as looking at someone that's really giving 100% and 100% into this for a whole career. I just don't see it.
Tone, you've been around this a long time. Would that surprise you what Mark is spelling?
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me at all, and I think that's a great observation from Mark. I mean, I know Quay Parker's not going to be around. He just hasn't played lately, and then it'll be a mutual coming out of mind there. What would be best for both parties? And I just think that Lamonte Turner is the odd man out. I think that I've said this on the television show I do on Sundays, The Locker Room. I think they need a fifth-year guy or a junior college guy to play in the backcourt. And then if you got that, you got Jordan Bone, and then you have Shambari Phillips. Those are the three guys that'll be handling the ball next year. So I think that's a really astute assertions on Mark's part.
So, Keith, in terms of the fifth-year guys that are out there, is there anybody that comes to mind that jump off the page at you as guys Tennessee could grab?
I mean, not that come to mind immediately that had done for what John Gillen did for Syracuse this year, just because you really don't know. I mean, everybody's still playing. I mean, you don't really have anybody out there saying, oh, by the way, as soon as the season's over, I'm getting the heck out of here. The one thing I take, if we're reading into Barnes' comments, the comment about Hubs and the comment about they had the ball, they got rid of it, that to me is just a message to toughen the hell up.
Wow.
I mean, I take that as a shot at the mental strength of those individuals.
Which, Tony, kind of goes back to what you were saying, which is this guy's been pretty hard on his basketball team this year, no doubt about it, right?
He's been hard on him. He's had his thumb on the pulse of the team, and I can't be critical of any decision that Rick Barnes makes as a coach. I mean, his record speaks for itself. He's had some success at a number of different venues, and he may have felt that this is the way he had to coach this team, and he's been around them more than any of us. So he's probably knows the hot buttons to push and not to push on certain individuals. So we'll just see if he continues to have that type of mantra during next year, because it's going to be a very important year, because it's another year of Tennessee not making the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's I think it's 5 out of 6 now, which is pretty damn hard to believe. Let's get Sergio in here, who's next with me, and you on your Smartway, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Thank you, Smartway. Thank you to the Garza Law Firm for helping us provide this terrific service to the fan base, to the great Mark Griffin, Keith Hatfield, and Tony Jones as well. Y'all are incomparable. This is an absolute dream to get to do this. It's a shame it ended today. Sergio, hello.
Hey, Tony, guys. Wow, what a day. I just like to say I'd like to thank you, Tony, for hosting the listener watch party. I was there with my buddy Barry Switzer's sparring partner, Diamond Jim, an old friend of yours.
He's a smart fella. He's a smart fella. Anybody gets his arm broken by Barry Switzer is my guy.
Yeah, that's your boy. But I want to thank you for that because, you know, it's just a home. You know, the common fan can feel like they're at home. And, you know, I got a chance to talk to W. Lynn and break some bread with him and talk to Mark Griffin for the first time in 30 years. We have a lot of mutual friends from college, and we were there at the same time. So that was neat. And so thank you for that. Thank you for doing that all year. Thank you for the fifth quarter. You know, thank you for being there for us.
Thank you, my friend. And I thank my great sponsors, like my friends here at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse. Without them, none of this happens. I mean, literally none of this happens without them.
Yeah, great, great venue. You know, today just kind of epitomized the whole season. It was ugly at times. It was pretty every now and then.